Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Here we are, Eye on the Illini. I'm Larry Smith, and we just want to start by saying thanks so much for all your support in the early days here of IlliniGuys.com. As we put on Twitter a few days ago, day two, y'all broke the site. You were on there so much, so we made sure to get the unlimited package, and that won't happen again. So it's been a lot of fun to get this thing started. We are joined today by a very special guest. Man, I've known this guy forever, and you know him as well. One of the all-time prolific scorers in Illinois history, over 1,100 points in only 2 years, NBA career. Kind of a household name around the world. Kenny Battle is with us. KB, what's been going on?
Not much, Larry, man. Thank you for having me on, and congrats on the new show, and good luck, and keep launching and keep going, man.
That's right. That's right. We're gonna do some fun things on there. We look forward to it. And one of the things is getting a chance to talk with guys like you. Hey, I want to talk about your thoughts on this year's Illini team. Off to a good start. They've been ranked all season long. What do you see when you watch this team?
Well, I see a young team that's very hungry and out to prove that they can play with anyone at any time. And, we got Io and Kofi and a great supporting cast. We got some great freshmen in there. Coach Underwood and his staff is doing a tremendous job of preparing these young men game in and game out, especially during this difficult time. And they'll continue to flourish and continue to shine. And they're going to be a team to be reckoned with once they get close to the tournament.
Yeah, I think so. And I really love, obviously Io and Kofi talked about going pro, came back, probably the right move. Couldn't work out for team. Just come one of those situations that, and I think they're making the most of it right now. You look at what Iowa's done, averaging over 20 points a game. And it feels like most games, he can kind of get what he wants when he wants it for the most part.
Yeah, he definitely went over the summer and worked on his game, improved his shooting, his ball handling, his strength, his conditioning. And coming back, he knew he would be that leader. As well as Kofi, and it shows game in and game out. I mean, Io is unbelievable. He's definitely going to be a high draft pick, as well as Kofi. And, but their on-the-court success is going to, they're going to need that supporting cast of their teammates and continue confidence from the coaches. But I think they all get it done.
Tell me about the expectations. I think back to the fall of 88 when you were on campus and that amazing year going on and second place in the Big Ten, the Final Four out in Seattle. I see some similarities between the two teams in terms of that team, led by you and Nick and Kendall and Steve Bardo and another guy named Larry Smith, not me, no relation. we joke about that. I see so many similarities in terms of you were coming into the season with high expectations. How does that change the dynamic when you go in? And if you do suffer a loss, what does that do to a team in terms of fighting through to make sure you reach those goals?
Once you do suffer for that loss, it lets you know that everything that you thought you had in place wasn't, and it makes you go back to practice, go back to the drawing board, make you work harder, whether it's missed free throws, turnovers, not understanding the game plan that coach has designed for you. Every little thing, then that loss gave you that opportunity to tweak every little thing that went wrong during that loss. And so when you get into that next contest, you're prepared. You know that, okay, I can't do this. I can't do that. We got to do more rebounding as an overall team, not as the individual. We got to get defensive stop individually as well as collectively. And, you know, it's little things that you go home after a loss, you got nothing to do but think, you know. And especially if it's a long layoff. And I know we played, it was every other day or every 2 days you were playing. So you really don't have to get – you don't have long because you have practice the next day. You have classes going on, maybe exams, term paper doing. So you have a lot going on outside of basketball that you also have to take care of.
Yeah. So. Was there a moment during that season and you and I are close to the same age. I could do the math on this, but, you know, it was a few years ago. Was there a moment in that season when you knew – there was a game or a moment when you knew, okay, this team, no, we really are special. This is a team we really could go all the way.
Well, you know, I give you a great example. It was the Missouri game, the Missouri-Illinois game. And, you know, we came in ranked. They came in ranked. And, I mean, they came out and they were putting it on us. And, you know, at halftime, I think we were almost down 18 or so. Going into halftime. I mean, we cut the deficit a little and going in and Coach Henson and, you know, the coaching staff said, well, you guys talk about being great. Now is a great opportunity to show the, you know, show the world that you are great. So you can either choose to go out and play or you can put your tail between your legs and run and hide. And, you know, we collectively choose to go out and play. And, you know, from that point on, you know, we knew that it didn't matter how many points we were down during the course of a game. We had the ability to go on a 20-0 run, a 30-0 run, like that. And, you know, as I talk, you know, I was going back looking through some of the press clipping, and I'm reading, you know, 23-0 run, 22, 25, 30-2 run. And I'm like, wow, when you're playing, you don't get opportunity to see that. And then you look back and say, man, we could just turn it on like that and go with it. And but, you know, when you have a collective group that have that same idea, that same feeling, that same desire, you'll be able to get it done. And we were.
You know, that's a game that stands out. And I remember a game that I covered was the home game against Purdue on a Monday night. Back then, Big Monday was a big deal. That was a Big Ten package in ESPN. You guys are ranked, obviously. Purdue comes in. We're not on your level, but Gene Katy, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be, you know, a good rivalry game. And you blow them out like 120-78. I mean, it was just a complete dismantling on national TV. You just ran up and down the court. You did whatever you wanted. Everybody scored. Everybody dunks, alley-oops, whatever. And that was the night that I just was like, okay, this team is out of this world.
Yeah, when you're able to do that against a Purdue team that's always under Katy has been very physical. I mean, they had the big bodies, you know, the muscular guys, and, you know, they played hard. And for us to do that, we knew that, hey, it's going to take a really, really good team to just beat them. Because we're not going to quit. We're going to fight to the end. And, you know, we did that the course of the season. You know, we fought, you know, we lost tough games. I mean, the game to Michigan, you know, we fought to the end. I mean, we got the last opportunity to score and tie it up. And, you know, in a basketball game, that's what you want, the opportunity to win the game at the end. And unfortunately for us, we didn't do it, but we had that opportunity.
Okay, there are people who are listening that are going to want me to ask this question, so I will. Was there a push-off?
Well, you know what? Where are you talking about, at the end?
Sean Higgins.
But, you know, Nick a fierce guy. He, you know, you know, there was a lot of calls that didn't get called. Larry Smith charge at the end wasn't called, and you have two officials looking at it, but none of them had the gall to make that call. And I don't care if it's the first play or the last play of the game. If you see it and it happened, you have to call it as an official. It doesn't matter at what point it's called. You know, if you're going to call it, you know, 10 minutes into the game, you should call it with 2 seconds left in the game.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. Well, like I said, I had to ask because there's somebody listening that would say, He mentioned Seattle. He mentioned Seattle, Michigan. He mentioned Final Four. You got to ask him. So there it is. I asked. You brought up Coach Henson, and you know, I know what a great loss, obviously, for the Illini family. You know, all of us fans, we feel it. But you know, obviously, I know you were much closer to him than what we were. Do you see any similarities in the leadership styles of Coach Henson and Coach Underwood?
Oh yeah, definitely. They both have that fight in them, you know, that resilience, and they both want both of their teams to succeed, and they're not going to allow you to shortcut anything, you know, whether it's practice or game, you know. And Coach Henson would get on you, and Coach Underwood is a lot more vocal, and you know, he doesn't care. You know, Coach Henson didn't cuss, and I know Coach Underwood used every cuss word in the dictionary. So, you know, that similarity is there. And, you know, that number one ultimate thing is they both want the team to win and be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get a chance to talk to Coach? What's the last time you talked to Coach before he passed?
Probably, I want to say almost a month and a half before. You know, I would always call and check on him. And if he wasn't available to talk, I would talk to Miss Henson. And she would tell me, I'll let Coach know you call. You know, he would want to talk to you and this here and that. But the thing about Coach Henson, even during his time, I remember at the 30-year reunion, he wasn't even supposed to attend because of health reasons. And we had an event out at the country club, and he made sure he was there. And then he wasn't supposed to come to the game the following day. Actually, he was just supposed to make an appearance and leave. And as he come in and get to his seat, I come down and I talk to him, and he gave me a hug. And he was like, Kenny, this is a great moment for Illinois basketball. And I said, well, Coach, I know you're not going to be here. I just want to say hi, you know, tell you that I love you, and the guys all are glad to see you. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. You know, he's like, I don't care what my doctor said. He said, I can't miss this moment because I don't know when there might be another moment like this that I'll be able to attend. Yeah. And he stayed the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even afterwards, we had an after event, and you know, he came for a minute, waved, said a couple things, and then he left. But that moment, he was so happy to see all of his guys, his coaching staff, his office people, the fans, you know, and just to know that they appreciate everything that he have done for the University of Illinois.
Yeah, yeah, that is awesome. I know, again, our condolences to the Henson family, family of Jimmy Collins. And, you know, I know you guys are a part of that family. So certainly, you know, I know we all felt that loss here in late 2020. You know, you mentioned one more question about the current players. I want to talk about a little bit of what you're doing right now. But, you know, Io and Kofi, we talked about, you know, looking at the NBA draft. They're going to look again this year, probably stay in the draft. You left early. What advice would you give these two young men and others who look to make that jump early?
Well, you know what? You have to do what you feel is right for you, your family, and only you would know if it's time for you to go. You know, people can say no, people can say yes, but you as that individual are the one that's going to be putting in that work, doing those workouts, doing those interviews and all of that stuff. So if you feel you're ready and you know your game is ready, you're only going to have one shot. You're either going to make it or not make it, you know. And, you know, I would never tell a young man or a young woman that, no, wait another year. Because you only get one calling. You either accept it or you don't. I mean, if you go back and come back the following year and it works out for you, but you got a lot of factors that are factoring in there, you might get injured. This here and that, you never know. So you have to take that opportunity when it presents itself.
Do you talk to, I know you've got some kids playing college ball, and I know you still are real involved in with kids. We'll talk about here in a moment. Do you are you called on to mentor young people from time to time, a kid you know that are kind of making that decision right now?
Well, yeah, I get calls from parents all the time, you know, asking me, and I tell them the truth. You know, whether that's what they want to hear, but they ask for it. So I give it to them straight and narrow because I don't want anyone to come back and say, well, Kenny told me to do this or Kenny told me not to do that. No, you're going to make that final decision. I'm going to give you my opinion, where I feel at that moment, at that time. And then you have to go on from that.
But yeah, you mentioned my kids.
Yeah, they're doing wonderful. My daughter's at Delaware. You know, she's the queen of the double-double, you know, 7 out of 8 games getting double-double. And, you know, she's having fun. The coaches, they love her. And, you know, it was a perfect fit when she transferred from Indiana State to Delaware. They was needing a person that could do everything. And she's that person. I mean, you look at her stats, she's, you know, got the double-double, you know, close to a triple-double. You know, she's got 4 or 5 blocks, 4 or 5 steals, 4 or 5 assists. I mean, I tell her, I said, baby girl, you are a stat filler, and I love it. You know, I love it. You know, and she's having success. And I have two freshmen. Actually, one is older than the other. They're both at Northern. One's football, and one's basketball. And then I have my other son that plays for me out at Kishwaukee College. And Kenny Jr. is he's living in L.A., but he's back here now. So, you know, but I love it. You know, I love talking to him, asking questions, telling him my opinions, you know, what's going on, what they got to do more of. And, you know, I told him all the time that I would always be their worst critic.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't care about the things you did well. It's the thing that you did do well that I care about.
Right. Yeah. What's it like being in the stands now, being the dad and watching your kids? I can't imagine the pride.
Oh, it's great. You know, I love it.
Now I see what my mother went through for all those years. And patiently waiting on you to make free throws or do this or do that. But it's great. It's exciting. And I love it. And I tell her, I say, I know what you went through all those years. And especially when it's crunch time and we're either down 2 or 3 and we need a bucket or we need this. And, you know, I said, I know now I see and I enjoy it. So I know the joy that you had watching me, now I get to watch my kids and have that same joy.
Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. Well, for people who don't know, catch us up with what Kenny Battle is doing now.
Well, I'm working on
a project out in the South Suburbs. It's called Game On. With Mayor Osbury and Hazel Crest and Aretha Jones out in Bourbonnais. And we got together and Game On is about, we got all the young athletes around the Chicago area together to let them understand their voting rights and what it means to have that privilege and right to vote and get them out to the poll. And it was unbelievable. And also we got the Black and brown community more aware of the coronavirus and, you know, the effect to protect yourself and all those avenues. And also talk to them about the prevention and the vaccine that were coming out to let them know that, you know, this is something that you actually need, because, you know, anything that's, you know, the flu, I think is 7-8% effective, but this vaccine is 94-95% effective. Mm.
Wow.
So it's something that you really need. And for us as a nation to get a hold on this, you know, people have to be vaccinated. You know, I mean, after 2020, I mean, no one wants to repeat that in 21. So,
and it's a great opportunity.
And also I have, I'm in the process of having two buildings come up at the same time, one in Aurora, my hometown, and the other one in the South Suburbs. Youth facilities have a lot of stuff I can't talk about in there right now until I get everything patented and set up, you know. But it's going to be unbelievable, both facilities, and it's going to offer a lot of things that people need right now. And, you know, it just keeps me busy. I stay active, you know, and I'm watching my line now. And I'm enjoying it, man. I mean, I'm enjoying that. I hate, you know, being in all the time, but it's what we got to do to make it a better place for everyone.
We all have found out what Zoom is, right? I mean, a year ago, did you know what Zoom was? I had no idea.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't think half of the world did, you know, but it's just another way, another adjustment that we as a society, you know, has grasped, and, you know, and we do well with stuff. And I just wish we do better with, you know, this pandemic and protecting ourselves as well as our families.
Yeah. You talked about the stuff in the community, and I know you and I have talked before about how important that is, that you use your name and your profile to help people. What's the biggest challenge that you run into? Let's talk about the COVID-19 vaccine. There's there's so many mistruths out there on the internet and even on TV and even in live speeches about what this is about and where we need to go. What do you find is the biggest challenge as you get out and try to educate people?
Well, you know, especially in the Black and Brown community, we as a group always, there's always someone that has that negativity, that plants that false seed within that community. And, you know, and I hate to say it, but we grab on the first thing we hear and say, oh man, this stuff is not gonna work, it's set up, you know, it's this here and that. Well, you know, when you have a country that's in dire need of a vaccine, and this is something that can save not only your family members, friends, communities, people around the world. And you have to, at some point, you know, say, you know what, I'm gonna try it. You know, if it works, it works. You know, if it works, it's gonna work. It's gonna save you, it's gonna prevent you. But nothing is 100% sure. But when you have something that's 94-95% efficiency rate, you have to. And I remember I was talking to my mother and she had heard, you know, the same negativity. And I'm like, Mom, you know, this is something special with you and your age and your precondition, you know, this is what you need. And I remember her first reply was, well, you know, if I get sick, then I'll get it. I'm like, Mama, it's not going to do you any good when you get sick. And her and I was talking last week, and she and I, because I told her, I said, well, you can call your doctor and set it up, and they can put you on the list and get you in, you know, ASAP. And she said, yeah, I'm going to have a shot. And I was thinking about it and, you know, what you said, and plus some other stuff she had researched. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I said, I'd rather you have it
than not have it, than something happened to you because you didn't get it. And I'm like, me and my brothers and sister be feeling like, well, we told her, but I'm like, you know, our mom, she's the most stubborn person in the world. But,
you know, she said she's going
to get it. And I was happy to, and relieved to hear that. And,
you know, but the education
piece isn't there. Because when we, when it
first came out
in Chicago,
the Black and Brown
community were the last to receive, you know,
any information about it. They went up north to the,
you know, more high society fluency, the rich area. And then when they made sure
those people had everything they needed, now they started
moving out to the south suburbs and all of that to give those people. And then all of a sudden, you know, they run out. Well, you run out because you gave it all the way up there to them. And the education wasn't coming out in the south suburbs. So, you know, we were like, you know, we got to stop the disproportionate of, you know, stuff and let our people know, the Black and Brown community, what we have to do to keep ourselves and family safe.
And it worked well.
I mean, my last meeting, we had so many people on the call. We had a lot of the coaches from the SWAC, a lot of the coaches from the Chicago area, the suburbs, all the way up in St. Louis. I mean, people just logged on and listened. We had a panel of doctors, specialists that were telling people about it. We had mental health people that was on there talking. We had myself on there and speaking. And I mean, it was great. And at the end, I got the final tally and I'm like, wow. And then we had a Q&A at the end where people, listeners, could ask questions. And I mean, these questions they was asking and people was like, wow, man. And we had doctors that had the answers to the question.
And if they didn't have the answer,
so they gave them a number to call. Mm-hmm. And they said, when you call me, I guarantee I will have the answer to your question.
Yeah.
So we're preparing
for Game On Part 3. I'll definitely let you know. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. And, you know, we're still doing, have stuff that we're planning for the Chicago area that'll be hopefully coming up within the next month.
That was my next question is, what's a website you have, or how can people, where can they go to check out what you're doing, get involved? If people want to donate their time or talents, how can people do that?
Well, you know, they can
shoot me an email to my youth organization email, kbhoop33@yahoo.com. And I can give them all the information they need.
We definitely need a funding. And we're working on two websites.
And I know they can reach at Game On and number Game On.
And there's a lot of information on there pertaining to that.
Yeah, I know you have talked, you and I have talked before. It's really exciting with the Game On stuff that you're doing. And I know that is, I know how passionate you are with that. We're about to wrap up here, but I always, when I get a chance to sit down in an interview situation with people and have a conversation, I always like to finish off with one question. And that is, if you think about all the things that you've accomplished and the amazing life and career that you've had, what's one thing that you would do differently when you look back now?
Well, you know what?
I wouldn't do a thing different. I mean, I had a wonderful path from birth until now. And that path I've taken, I've met tremendous people along that path, you know, from the pastoral side, family side, sports side, business side. And those connections that I've made up until now, I wouldn't go back and do anything different.
Because it would put me at a disadvantage
to try to emulate what I've accomplished so far. And the path I've taken and the strength that I've gained along my path and the knowledge that I've gained and the people that I've gained that have helped me along my path. And it's a lot of them that, you know, from my teachers when I'm young, you know, telling me how to act, how to be responsible, and my coaches making sure I did the same thing and let me understand the value of an education and, you know, this here and there, and
how to become a
family man and, you know, a father and all of that. You know, I wouldn't go back and change anything. I'm just blessed and happy that those people were in my path and helped me along the way and continue. And that's why I'm so passionate about giving back, because I know there's someone out there that I can touch and someone that I can give knowledge to. And, you know, and that's the thing about it. When you have something, you have to give back and continue the growth, because that's what it is. We're in a growing period, and we're going to continue to grow, continue to expand. If I can help young men, young women, parents, you know, grandparents or whatever it might be, to help their family member succeed, that's what I want to do.
Okay. Just my own personal, I'm curious, once we get past COVID and we have an Illini alumni game, we're going to see you out there, right?
Absolutely.
I can't wait. You know, I mean, that's, you know how big the Illini family is, whether you just a regular student athlete, but once you attend that university, you know, it's a special meaning. It's a special brand. And, you know, when you see people that went to Illinois, have an Illinois hat, cap on, or whatever it might be, you know, you feel something special because you know that that person had a wonderful time at the University of Illinois.
I was with my kids in Peachtree City, Georgia. We're out in the golf cart, and we have a home there. And there's a woman who had an Illini shirt. I yelled out ILL, and she looked around and tried to figure out, say that. Then she saw me finally, and she gritted. She yelled back, "I." And I said, "There you go." You know, my kids just got a kick out of that.
I mean, it's wonderful, man. I've been all over the world, and I remember we went to Israel. I had the best time of my life in Israel, and it was the NBA retired players, and Stephen Bartow and myself was part of it. And we had a bunch of guys from Michigan, Purdue, a lot of Big Ten guys, Northwestern, and. You know, we're traveling and we're going through the airport once we got to Israel. And, you know, there's someone coming through with an Illinois hat on. And prior to the trip, we saw some other people had Illinois shirts on. So we pull up into our hotel there in Tel Aviv. And coming out the hotel, there's a whole family. And they all got Illinois shirts on. So I yell on the bus and I say, "Hey, Illinois people are all over the world." And the first thing, they're like, "Oh, man, you know you planted that here." And I see CEO is a Northwestern guy. And I'm like, "Man," I said, "Sorry, man. But, you know, Illinois ruled the Big Ten all over the world. Our people travel." And they was like, "No, it can't be." And Steven and I get out, and they know who we were. We take pictures and sign some autographs. And I said, we are in another country around the world, and our line, our people are all over, you know.
So that's right. That's right.
Oh, well, good luck, man, Larry.
I appreciate it, man, and great success. And I know you and I still be talking and got other ventures that we'll join and do.
Absolutely. And just remind everybody, the email address again is kbhoop33@yahoo.com. Reach out to KB and, you know, let's help him do all the things that you're doing up there, because it's fantastic. And, you know, no surprise at all. You've always been somebody who's been about community, about helping other people. And you'll let us know what we can do to help you out with that.
Yep. And that's KB Hoop.
KB Hoop 33 at yahoo.com.
Okay. Beautiful. His name's Kenny Battle. One of the all-time Illini greats, part of the Flying Illini back in 89, and still rooting as always for this year's squad as well. Kenny, good talk to you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day. Thanks. Be safe.
Thank you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit, credit to the people.
First, the bad news. SAP Business AI won't help you generate cubist versions of your family's holiday photos. But it will help you understand which supplier is best to help you roll out your plant-based packaging in Southeast Asia, or identify the training your junior project manager needs to rise up the ranks, and automate repetitive tasks while you focus on big innovations, so you can be ready for the next opportunity. Revolutionary technology, real-world results. That's SAP Business AI.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.